Okay, so last night at 11:35 p.m. on the major networks, there was actually some fresh material on the TV. Leno, Letterman, and Kimmel all back behind their desks as the late-night talk show hosts returned to the broadcast networks after being off the air for almost 2 months due to the writer strike. So is a late-night guy without a staff like a beauty contestant without makeup? Still good-looking, but maybe not that good-looking? Well, Letterman had a little mascara and lip gloss because his production company worked out a separate deal with the writers for the CBS Late Show and the Late Late Show, but the rest on their own, au natural. How did they do? Let's start off with Leno, who actually started off with a monologue this way.
Everywhere I go in the city for the last couple of days,
it's Conan.
Everywhere I go,
what are you going to do? What are you going to do on the show? What are you going to do?
It's one guy who follows me.
All right, so Conan. He's sounding a lot like Leno.
He started with a dead-on Conan impression. Who knew he had it in him?
All right, joining us now to break down the late-night talkers is writer-comedian Bruce Cherry. He's written for Comedy Central's Tough Crowd with Colin Quinn. I love Colin. Court TV Snap Judgment and The Late Late Show with Craig Kilborn, as well as for Air America. Hi, Bruce. Thanks for coming in, by the way.
Oh, thank you for having me.
Impressive
it's a pleasure to be
showing
here.
In the morning. Leno, he did a show without writers, but he did go with a monologue. We played a little bit at the top of our show. Could you notice he didn't have his writers?
Actually, I guess it was a completely self-composed monologue, which he mentioned during the monologue that he had a dispensation from the union to do that, although I had read about that they're still going to take a look at that. I don't know if they're completely okay with it, but yeah, the thing about Leno is he tends to do the more generic jokes of all of the late night shows, so mm-hmm. The fact that he did a lot of easy jokes was pretty much in character.
So he went for the low-hanging fruit, is what you're saying.
Yeah, which I've never criticized him for that. I mean, somebody has to do that kind of stuff, and he's always the earliest one on and the most broad-based of all the shows. So, but you know what? Every Leno monologue, I used to always tell my friends, would always have like one or two just great jokes where you're like, man, that made the whole monologue worthwhile. But this time, I didn't see any, like, there was no gold in there.
I agree with you. In general, I am not a huge fan of the Leno monologue, though I have big respect for him as a comedian. But the New York Times does extracts of great jokes. So they only pick three a week, you know, and they run it in their week in review. And the Leno jokes are often killer. And so you're saying in his monologue last night, it was mainly just a baseline of competency and none of those one or two killer moments.
Yeah, it was actually quite entertaining. In fact, it's sort of fascinating to watch someone go out there without a net, in a sense, although I didn't realize that he was going to do a self-composed monologue. I thought he was just going to try to wing it, which he did for like the last probably third of it. He just took Q&A from the audience.
How'd that work?
At one point, I mean, if you're watching carefully, which I guess everybody was, because he was out there without the net, he asked like three people in a row, staffers or audience members, how was your Christmas? How was your Christmas? How was your Christmas? Until he could gather something. But for the most part, it was kind of entertaining.
He does that every night before the show. I mean, would the layman be surprised at just how quick on their feet the guys, the late night hosts, really are?
Well, Conan is so funny. I mean, Conan's been a writer forever, and he's written for The Simpsons and the like. So I can imagine that he might have fared a little bit better.
Yeah, the thing that impressed me is everybody pretty much showed their regular personalities of their shows. I mean, Conan was just completely wacky. They did, I don't know if you saw it, but they just zeroed in on, he grew a beard. Ironically enough, both Letterman and Conan both grew beards during the strike. And Conan made reference to the fact that it was a strike beard, and they played an absurd song called Strike Beard, the lyrics of which were strike beard, I love you. So that it was typical Conan in that sense.
I think we got a clip of Conan riffing on his beard, right?
I know this looks fake. It looks like it ties on in the back. Believe it or not, I actually grew a beard. I grew a beard. I never did that in my life. I grew it out of solidarity for my writers and to prove that I have some testosterone.
But here's the thing. It's kind of a one trick. Unless he, you know, shows off his prodigious back hair tomorrow, how much can you milk the beard for comedy?
Yeah, I know. One of the other things he did was to see how long he could spin his wedding ring on his desk, which he had 36 seconds. It was pretty entertaining at the time. But I think after about 2 weeks of wedding ring spinning, then tedium would set in.
It's interesting, though, and I kind of expected. I'm curious if you expected it or not that they all address the strike in one way or another. They kind of had to, didn't they?
Yeah, I think it was pretty much mandatory. And I know Letterman is like an enormous backer of the union, and his was the most unequivocally pro-union. It was almost like a union rally. Mm-hmm. I don't know if you saw all the details, but it was, and his was written by his union staff writers. He has a go-ahead from the union to do that because they signed an agreement that he would give his writers whatever was eventually agreed to with the other. He owns his own company.
Yeah. Did was there anything on the shows you thought, well, gee, this is actually a little bit better without the writers there?
No, actually nothing at all, speaking as a writer.
You didn't slit your own throat.
Sorry.
But was there
you were a journalist for us last night watching this show.
Was there anything that you saw as a professional, though, that you think you may have noticed? I don't know. It could be just a little moment that you as a professional writer maybe would have noticed that the layman, it would have passed him by. A moment of unscriptedness where there's usually scripted banter. I don't know if there is anything like that.
I did notice that Leno did like a 72 virgins joke, which is pretty much verboten. It's sort of like the
wow.
I mean, it's just in terms of the just it's a sort of a really done joke in terms of comedy. It'd be doing like a New York and L.A. are different, which Leno does cast the widest net. But
blondes are stupid, right?
Yeah. Kind of thing. He cast the widest net, but that was a little wide for his net.
So check into the Jay Leno Women Can't Drive Well Hour tomorrow night. And Bruce Cherry, writer, comedian, and watcher of late night TV for us. Thanks a lot, Bruce.
Thank you.